In his name, we are starting another edition of the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Hollow City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. The program The Immortals is mainly concerned with the life and works of outstanding dignitaries in different fields of studies, specifically those Muslim and Persian ones in different fields of studies all around the world. With the presence of Dr. Fakh Rohani. Dr. Fakh Rohani is currently a faculty member of University of Qom, got his PhD in the field of linguistics from the University of Tehran, and is specialized in the field of Ahlabi literature and Ashra literature in English language. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakh Rohani, for accepting our invitation to the studio of the Call of Islam radio station.
Oh, welcome. Thank you.
How are you today, Dr. Fakh?
Fine.
Dr. Fakh Rohani, because in the program The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of the outstanding figures in different fields of studies, specifically those religious ones, because the program The Immortals is produced in the Call of Islam radio, which, in fact, according to the goals and missions defined for this radio station, it is mainly concerned with the religious ones. This session, we want to get to the life and works of Shahid Awwal, or the first, in fact, mainly known the first martyr. I would like to say that Abu Abdullah Shamsuddin Muhammad ibn Jamaluddin Makki, mainly known as Shamsuddin or Shahid Awwal, was born on 734 Hijra at Jezin Jabal Amel in 1000 Lebanon, and passed away on 786 Thursday 9 of Jamadil Awwal at Damascus in Syria. He lived for 52 years, an age considered too small for a scholar of his caliber, that is the age when ulama are considered to as mere students. Like the family of Allamahili, the family of Shahid Awwal was blessed with several mujtahids came from the family. This is interesting that all the persons we discuss in this program were from a noble family, Dr. Fakh. Even women in the family did ijtihad, and the area where Shahid Awwal was born had a large Shia population because Abu Zar Ghifari was exiled there by the ruler of Syria, and he propagated the word of Ahl al-Bayt there, and so many mujtahids were born in the area that a book was written on the ulama of Jabal Amal a few hundred years ago. It was noted that a fifth of the total number of mujtahids resided in that small area, and Shahid Awwal's father and his father-in-law too were prominent of the ulama of Jabal Amal. About the education, in fact, upbringing, and some particulars about the life of Shahid Awwal, we are really eager to listen from you, Dr. Fakh.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you know, and as you remarked, the later Shahid al-Awwal, the first martyr, I mean designated as such, he belonged to an erudite and learned family in Jezin, in southern Lebanon, generally known as Jabal Amel. Well, he received his first lessons and early education at home and from his close relatives, who were great men of letters and knowledge. However, such a great figure was very devout, in that he devoted all his life to promulgation of noble religious values. I should like to talk about some of his characteristics. He lived, for 52 years. And this lifespan is rather short for a person as erudite and learned as Shahid al-Awwal. However, he compiled several books, including Zikra, Bayan, Qawaid, obligations. He also penned the book An-Nafliya, in which he included some 3,000 hadiths about the complementary or recommended religious acts, those which are not mandatory or obligatory. Rather, the worshipper is advised to observe those deeds and acts.
That's why.
And the mere recording of generally about 4,000 hadiths in this regard is a good testimony and good evidence for the wide and the vast knowledge of the later Shaheed al-Awwal.
That's right, he got, in fact, Shaheed al-Awwal got the certificate of being a mujtahid at the age of 17 from Fakhr al-Muhaqqiqin.
Yes.
Fakhr al-Muhaqqiqin was the son of Allama Hilli.
Yes. At the same time, I should like to say that he was a very hard-working scholar, and it's related, according to a report, he worked almost 20 hours a day. I mean, out of 24 hours a day, he used to work for 20 hours a day.
That's right.
So it can be said that he used to spend his lifetime chiefly on, studying and writing and reading.
That's right.
So he was a real scholar. At the same time, I should like to mention that, another book, the magnificent book, one of the most important and admirable achievements of the late Shaheed al-Awwal, is his book, Al-Lum'at al-Dimashqiyya.
You are right, Dr. Fakhwani, that in fact, we can say the history is recorded that Shaheed al-Awwal studied about 20 hours in a day and night. And Dr. Fakhwani, the interesting point about Shaheed al-Awwal is his constitution and the complexion. The stories record that Shaheed al-Awwal was a person of very weak constitution because he studied a lot and he did not that much time to, spend some money for himself getting energy from eating or something like that. He was very thin.
Yes.
And they say that in the history it is documented that Shaheed al-Awwal his hair stopped growing.
Yes.
At a very young age because he used to work almost 20 hours a day. Shaheed al-Awwal also got, after getting his ijtihad from Fakhr al-Muhaqqiqin at the age of 17, he started some scholastic journeys. Okay,
yes.
Let's talk about these journeys. Where did he go exactly?
Yes. Actually, as you know, in those days, in old times, quite unlike the present age, in which we have access to almost everything via the internet. In old age, it was a common practice for scholars to move from this region to that region or from this country to another country, all in pursuit of knowledge and learning.
That's right.
And gaining more knowledge. So, the late Shaheed al-Awwal, he took trip to some cities, to Baghdad, to Egypt, to Medina, Mecca, and also he went to Bayt al-Maqdis, which is now known as Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem, as you know, has been the seat and capital of three major Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Yeah.
However, in Baghdad, Egypt, Medina, and at Jerusalem, he had an opportunity to attend the lectures and lessons of great Sunni scholars. Although he was a devout Shiite, but being in pursuit of learning more, he went to other scholars, chiefly Sunni scholars, in those regions and territories, in order to learn more. In this way, he achieved proficiency in studying and analyzing such great Sunni masterpieces such as Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Jami' al-Tirmizi, Musnad Abu Dawud, Musnad Ibn Majah, and Muslim Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and several other works. Okay, such that the Sunni scholars regarded him as a great scholar in the Sunni denomination, although he was a devout Shiite. Moving to these cities and taking this long scholastic journey, he got back again to his region, to southern Lebanon. However, in those days, it wasn't the case that Syria and Lebanon were two different countries. Rather, in those days, all of them, belonged to one and the same territory.
That's right.
As Asham, the Levant. Yes. I should like to talk about, I mean, his other, I mean, activities. The late Shahid al-Awwal wrote some expositions over some books of the late Sheikh al-Tusi, Misbah, okay, and Tahzib al-Ahkam. He wrote commentaries on these two, I mean, masterpieces of the late Sheikh al-Tusi. Now, let me indicate this point. Let me explicate on this concept that some scholars, I mean, some great Shiite scholars, had compiled some great works. Okay, but those great works, although they are still regarded as references, but for a scholar to be able to write a commentary or exegesis over those books is a manifest mark of his erudition.
Yeah.
So this was also, I mean, another sort of compilation and, I mean, academic, I mean, production. So, besides writing books of his own, the later Shahid al-Awwal decided, and of course he accomplished, he achieved to write exegesis and his own commentary on Misbah, I mean, which is concerned with the prayers for the entire year on different occasions throughout the year, as well as the book Tahdhib al-Ahkam of Sheikh al-Tusi. And the book Tahdhib al-Ahkam is one of the four basic tomes or one of the four basic canonical books of the Shia denomination. So Shahid al-Awwal's successful achievement in writing a commentary on Tahzib al-Ahkam is a good testimony that he was a great and profound scholar.
You know, the interesting point about Shahid al-Awwal's life is that he not only was concerned with the life of the people around, because so many people, because of the supplications, get to him in fire and pray or something like that, but also he took care of his family members too. You know, it is documented that he had three sons who were all accredited as mujtahids, you know, and his two daughters also were certified as mujtahids. His three sons were Abu Talib Muhammad, Abu Qasim Ali, and Abu Mansur Hassan. And his elder daughter, Fatima, who was given the title of Sayyidat al-Mashayikh. And sometimes, you know, it is nice to know that sometimes to illustrate the erudition of his daughter, Shahid Awwal used to say that the woman who have to resolve the problems of fiqh should meet her. And, you know, his daughter was very much in love and in affection with his father, loved him very much. Dr. Fakhwani, about his, in fact, the books now.
Yes.
You know, beside the books you mentioned, the outstanding and the most outstanding book is named and titled as Lom'a, isn't it?
Yes.
They say that for all the mujtahids, in order to be, in fact, to have the certificate of ijtihad, they have to pass Lom'a and with special annotations and descriptions to it. What is exactly Lom'a?
Yes, actually, I should like to say that to give a bird's eye view of the book Al-Lum'at al-Dimashqiyya. This book, Shahid al-Awwal compiled within just a few days in a prison in Damascus. Mm-hmm. Hence, it was entitled Al-Lum'at al-Dimashqiyya.
Right.
It signifies that the book, was finished, during his stay, of course a compulsory stay, in Damascus.
Right.
Okay, the book Al-Lum'at al-Dimashqiyya is a compact version of the major themes to be covered in Shiite fiqh, in Shiite legal rules and, branches of, speculation. This book, which is now regarded as a yardstick for present scholars to show their, profound erudition in matters of religion, contains almost everything and the main points of Shiite religious religious directives.
That's right.
Okay. It was written in such a terse and compact style that it needs elaboration and it needs annotation. However, there's another reason, I mean, for such a style of writing of the later Shahid al-Awwal. He was in prison, and he knew that he was going to be executed.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to lose time. He didn't want to lose any single opportunity in order to fulfill his best, in order to fulfill his mission toward the Shiite Fiqh.
That's right.
He decided to make the most of the opportunity, and he devoted his attention to this book, and he compiled it within a few days in prison.
That's right. What happened that, in fact, Shahid Awwal was imprisoned, and what plot was, in fact, we can say, planned for him by the scholars from different sects, Islamic sects from the other, in fact, denominations, except the Shia ones, against him? Let's have it after taking a break, okay?
Okay,
taking a break, listen to a religious song. I'm back in a minute.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life. A complete way.
We are back with the rest of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station. You know, this session we are mainly concerned with the life and works of Shahid Awwal, Abu Abdullah Shamsuddin Muhammad, or mainly known as Shahid Awwal, or the first martyr. Okay, Dr. Fakhwani, you said that Shahid Awwal wrote his book Lum'ah in the prison. What was the reason for his imprisonment?
Yes, the reason was that he was a great scholar, and he used to treat people with utmost respect, and he was very much responsive to the needs of whoever used to come to him.
That's right.
Okay, so he had a very wide popularity among people. I mean, everybody, I mean, regarded him with deep respect. And at the same time, since the, I mean, region, I mean, the Levant, I mean, the generally the region which now falls in Syria and Lebanon, and to some extent in some parts, some northwestern parts of Jordan, I mean, since the people of this area were chiefly Sunni, non-Shiite, non-Shiite Muslims. The people in this region used to respect him quite a lot. And at the same time, some Sunni scholars found him as an obstacle on their way. I mean, they found that with the presence of the later Shahid al-Awwal, the whole population would change the denomination from Sunni Islam to Shia Islam.
That's right.
So, in order to prevent another incident like that which occurred in Iran because of the presence of the late Allama al-Hilli, I mean, they planned, I mean, a plot in order to arrest him. Okay? At the same time, there was an apostate with the name of Muhammad Yalush.
That's right.
Who was formerly a Muslim, but later on he changed his religion and adopted a strange religion of his own, invented of his own. Well, he instigated some of his followers. He had instigated some of his followers and some of those who got together around him and went to Sunni scholars of the, I mean, major denominations in the Sunni of the major sects in the Sunni denomination, such as, for example, Hanbali, Maliki, and Shafi'i.
Yeah.
For example, Burhanuddin al-Maliki, who was the chief qadi of Damascus, was also a Sunni scholar. Muhammad Yalush, who was no longer a Muslim but pretended to have adopted another religion close to Islam, but it wasn't in effect any canonical version of Islam. He went to about 1,000 ulama, Sunni ulama of the region, and they wrote something and signed it as a testimony that the later Shahid al-Awwal used to abuse, some other Muslims and some other, companions of the Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah.
So, upon this false accusation and this, suspicion, the Qadi of Damascus, Burhanuddin al-Maliki, ordered his agents to arrest the later Shahid al-Awwal and to imprison him.
Mm-hmm.
They imprisoned the later Shahid al-Awwal, and after a couple of days, and fortunately, after the completion of al-Lum'a al-Dimashqiyya, they came to execute him. The reason he wrote the book Al-Lum'a al-Dimashqiyya was that the king of Khorasan in northeastern Iran had asked the later Shahid al-Awwal to come to Iran in order to, to
take charge of the people. Administration. That's right.
Yes. However, since he couldn't come to Iran, he couldn't take a trip to Iran, the late Shahid al-Awwal decided to write a book,
mm-hmm.
in order to direct those people who were in need of his religious direction.
That's
and
right.
This book was Al-Lum'at al-Dimashqiyya. Shahid al-Awwal spent quite a long time in prison, and finally he was executed.
That's right. Dr. Farhwani, Shahid al-Awwal was put into jail for 1 year, okay?
Yes.
And this is interesting that while he was in jail, most of the clerics used to visit him and for discussion and advice. But the interesting point, unfortunately, we can say that this was a trick done to Shahid al-Awwal to execute him. They said that after 1 year, which had elapsed in the prison, they forced Shahid al-Awwal to confess to apostasy, that say, I am an apostate, because they will release him according to the Shafi'i denomination, because in Shafi'i denomination, if you use to say that I am an apostate on that time, this is considered as your Tawbah and repentance, and they will release you. When they forced him very much, he had to do the request, and now Burhanuddin Maliki said that since he had confessed to apostasy, he must be executed. And they deceived Shahid al-Awwal, unfortunately, in this way.
Yes.
But as you are right, he wrote Lom'a within a short period, the period of time, they said 7 days. And the interesting point is, like Dr. Fakhrani, that he was forbidden and banned from writing, but he wrote it in 7 days, and after that find a reliable source, a reliable link, and after they gave it to him. And on his way to Khorasan, in fact, some people even made some copies out of this book. And after that, the king of Khorasan used it according to the norms of Sharia to direct the people over there. And this is so interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. Dr. Fakhrani, on Thursday, 9th Jamadi al-Awwal, 786, Shahid al-Awwal was martyred. The scholars, and the ideas differ about his punishment, but the author of Qasas al-Ulama says that the verdict pronounced that his two legs were to be tied to two camels, and they were to be driven in two opposite directions. Thus, his body was sundered into two, But Qazi Nurullah Shushtari, in fact, the Shahid Salis, or the third martyr, writes in his book, Majalis al-Mu'minin, that while he was being taken for the execution, he had the paper and pen in his hand, Shahid Awwal. On that piece of paper, he wrote, "I am now surrounded by the enemies. Please help me." Then, in fact, he threw the paper in the wind. And when the paper fell down to the ground, on the back of it was found written, "Be patient if you are Allah's creature." This is a miracle, in fact, happened at that time. And a divine message coming in his name is sufficient to prove his greatness. And Shahid Awwal was being taken for execution. They say that if it was an ordinary, Dr. Fakhwani, crime, the execution would have been with a sword. But it was the result of a hate and enmity of the clerics of that time that awarded the most heinous punishment. And his body was kept hanging on a tree till the evening, and then it was taken down, stoned and arrowed. Unfortunately, were showered on it, and around the time of Maghrib, the cadaver was put to flame. They thought that they had finished Shahid Awwal and wreaked this average, but this was not so. Also, another interesting point about Shahid Awwal is that when Shahid Awwal was martyred, his sizable estate came up for distribution among his children. The scholars used Shahid Awwal's daughter told to her siblings that she did not want anything from inheritance other than four things. Those four things were the copy of the Holy Quran that the king of Khorasan has gifted to her father, Sheikh Tusi's two books, Misbah, that contains prayers for the entire year, and Tahzib al-Ahkam, which is one of the four basic tomes of the Shia faith, and her own father's books, Qawa'id. And this was the story of the life and how did they, in fact, imprisoned Shahid Awwal and martyred him. Thank you very much, however, Dr. Fakhwani. It was very nice of you. Nice elaboration on the life and works of Shahid Awwal.
Welcome.
And dear Muslims, you can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. We'll be also happy with your comments and votes at this program at coi@signarabi.ir. Have a nice time and goodbye.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. Created by the Master, Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.